Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 4:2. The Word of God says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." This is not an uncommon thing in Christianity, that people hear the Word of God and they are willing to hear it and they are desirous of hearing it. But it has no transforming power. And sometimes they wonder to themselves, why is it that I'm hearing it and I even believe it, but it doesn't change me? And the reason is because there is something that can be, and I'm not saying this is true in every case, but this is one of the things that can hinder believers. And I bring it up because the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. But I bring it up because without this one thing, I won't be able to experience the reality of that verse. In other words, I may hear the word and I may believe the word. Okay, and I may listen to it and I may try to use the word almost as a panacea or bandage, where I'm in trouble and so I go to the word. And okay, I need more, but it never actually has that effect that I'm looking for. Well, part of the reason is because that's not how the word works. Okay, now, if I'm having difficulty, yes, I go to the word. But in and of itself, that will not solve my dilemma. There is something that is necessary in order for that dilemma to be resolved. And I say to myself, but I hear it, I know I'm supposed to go to it, I know I'm supposed to turn to the promises, I know I go to, but why isn't it working? And sometimes it doesn't. One of the reasons why it doesn't is in Isaiah 61:1. The Word of God says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and this is also what Jesus told us in Luke when he got up in the temple. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Okay, that, "because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings," but there's one part to this that's missed. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." That is essential. The Lord has anointed us to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, when Jesus was quoting that, there was a category of believer that he was not preaching good tidings to. A category of person, not just necessarily believer. He was not going to preach good tidings unto those who were not meek. That meekness thing really trips up sometimes some believers. Because that is an essential element in my life in order to experience the fullness of Hebrews 4:2. Yes, I can mix faith, but how do I mix faith? How do I get to that point? You see, I don't think there's a believer who actually listens to the Word of God or reads the Word of God who says, "I don't believe this." Maybe there's some here and there, but there aren't too many. Well, remember something. The devils believe. Satan has no question about the veracity of the Word of God, and neither do demons. All of them know that the Word of God is absolutely correct. They don't question it. They try to get us to question it, but they know it's right on the money. That's part of their strategy. Because they know it's correct, they know if they can get us to question the veracity of the Word, they can trip us up. So they can even use it as a strategy against us, because they know it's correct. But knowing that it's correct and mixing faith are two entirely different things. Now, when I mix faith with something, it's because I've applied meekness. in the hearing of the Word of God. What is meekness? Well, meekness is when I am humble before God. That's what it means. I have this attitude toward God. Now, if you look it up in the original language, you'll find it's not a condition that's toward man. It is exclusively a condition that is toward God. What is it? It's humility toward God. What we call humility is toward other people. Okay, if I'm humbled, so the Word of God tells us the humble will hear and be glad, right? If I'm humble, I will hear the preacher and it'll produce something. It'll produce gladness in me. Okay, but that's humility. But that is not the same as meekness. Only when I am meek will I be able to mix faith with what I hear. In other words, only when I'm humble before God will I be able to mix faith with what I hear. It is possible for a person to be humble in their natural disposition before other people. Often religious people are like this. They can be humble, even the unsaved can be like this. They can be humble before other people. However, that is not equivalent to being humble before God. Humility, apart from meekness, is simply a matter of disposition. But true humility always has meekness as its precursor. In other words, meekness is what leads to true humility. I have to be humble before God before I have true humility before man. Because a person who's not humble before God first may call it humility before man and wind up pandering to somebody's old sin nature. People like this can sometimes become very sentimental. Oh, I have to support them in their lust patterns. It happens all the time because it is the wrong form of humility. I have to be humble before God before I can enter into real humility. So the humble person before God is the person who will then mix faith with what they hear. Why? Because they don't elevate themselves above the Word of God. They don't put their intellect or their analysis on an equal plateau or even above the Word. What they will say is, this is the reality. This is the reality of life. This is the reality of my life. And they will yield to that Word because they know that Word is the reality. They won't try to put their experiences above the Word of God. They say, well, if I can't experience it, isn't real, right? Well, you know, I've never been an astronaut. Are astronauts real? It's an equivalent sort of way of thinking. So as a believer, I humble myself before God, and that is called meekness. And when I do that, then I have the ability to mix faith with what I hear, and it profits me. Now, a believer doesn't have to do that to be saved. A believer needs to do that if they want to experience the fullness of their salvation. So, in other words, positional truth is not based on whether I'm meek or not. Positional truth is based exclusively on what Christ has done. But if I want experiential reality in my life of that positional truth, then I have to have meekness. Without it, I'm not going to experience the life of God. So what does that tell me about meekness? That tells me that in meekness, there is a major component called the cross. The practical manifestation of a cross in a person's life is that they're meek. In other words, they're not exalting themselves. They're not elevating their opinion. They're not elevating their fears. They're elevating nothing of themselves. You see, this is why in John 3:30, John the Baptist said, "He must increase and I must decrease." What John was talking about is meekness. John is saying, I have to learn in application to become meek. Because when I learn meekness, then the manifestation of God's life through the cross becomes my practical reality. The cross is about the life of God. Meekness is that result of the cross in my life that bridges the cross to the life of God. So when I have meekness, when I have humility before God, not exalting myself, but seeing His Word as my ultimate reality, then the life of God becomes my reality. Why? Because where do I experience my life? I experience my life through the way that I think. You can take everything away from a person, have them be okay to some degree, but you cannot take away their thoughts. You can't take away their mind. You can even have them live for a few hours without a heart. Surgeons do that. But you cannot take away their mind. Then they can't live. If I am to have the life of God, through meekness, I need to have the mind of God. And that is His Word being the frame of reference for all that takes place in my mind. The foundation for my mind. And that only takes place through meekness. A person who is not meek will not be able to develop a capacity. Now, I'm not saying that they won't have a capacity if they're not meek. No one has a capacity at first. But there won't be any way of developing a capacity if a person's not meek. Why? Because that which would develop the capacity in them is missing. A person who is not meek will never be able to grow into trusting God's promises. Now, nobody trusts God's promises from the get-go entirely. But meekness allows them to develop that trust in God's promises. And sometimes circumstances have to come in certain areas of my life to manifest that. In other words, to get me to grow in certain things. And I will grow so long as there is meekness. But apart from meekness, there is no growth. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What does it mean to take His yoke upon me? Well, He told us right there. Taking His yoke upon me means that I learn His meekness and lowliness of heart in my life. In other words, I learn to have humility before God and humility before men. That's what He was saying. That's why He said in John 5:30, I can do nothing of myself. He only did that which He heard from the Father. He did nothing of Himself. Why? Because He was meek. He was entirely humble before the Father. He would not even try to take up an escape from Gethsemane apart from the will of the Father. Now, that didn't mean He didn't request an escape. He did. He said, Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. But He said, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. Why? Because He was entirely in humility submitted to the will of the Father. And if it was the will of the Father that He should perish in Gethsemane, then He was okay with that. Although He knew that the call was to the cross. But in His humility, in His humanity, He knew that God was sovereign. And if God's sovereign will was all of a sudden to take Him home then and there, then so be it. This was meekness. Now that's not just toward my death. That's toward everything. That's why He said, of my own self I do nothing. When He raised the dead, He didn't raise the dead of His own self. What did he do? He prayed. He went as the Father led. When he met the woman at the well, he didn't do that as of his own self. He did as the Father led. And so he was living in complete meekness, and he said, learn this meekness in your own life. Take this on you. Why? Because that's how you get to know me. If I know God, see, we believers, we throw that term around, and I think we throw it around too much. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? What does that mean? Do I know Him as my Savior? You mean, am I born again? Yeah, I'm born again. But that's not really the same thing as knowing Him. If I actually know Him, it's not that I'm saved. I can't even begin to know Him if I'm not saved. If I actually know Him, then I will be an immovable believer. It's that simple. I will simply be an immovable believer. Now, I may not have had certain experiences before so that I can develop a confidence in my natural disposition, but I can trust Him for all the difficult things seemingly impossible in my life. Recently, I watched that movie again, Faith Like Potatoes. Great movie. That man, Angus, I don't remember his last name now, but his first name was Angus. They came to him when a friend of theirs, this family's sister was killed. She was hit by lightning. And they said, we heard your God is powerful. Come and pray for our sister. She got killed. And he came in there with a great deal of trepidation. And he said, I don't know what to do, God. Why? Because I know I can't raise anybody from the dead. I don't know what to do, God. So he did the only thing he could think of. He prayed. Well, that was meekness. I may not know what to do, but I know who to turn to. I may not know where to go, but I know who to turn to. I may not know the answers, but I know who to turn to. That's meekness. In my own life, I may not know the solutions to the things or the way to get my desires, but I know who to turn to. And turning to Him is that meekness. But here's the thing, folks. If I really know Him, then I won't have that great trepidation in as much as, will He answer me? Will He come through for me? Will He be faithful to me? I'll have complete confidence in His character, even though I may not know the outcome of my circumstances. And that confidence in His character is what will sustain me in my circumstances. Because really, it's not about my circumstances. Think about it, folks. How long are your circumstances going to last? People want something, or they're afraid of something, or they're going through something. How long is that going to last? It can last a year, it can last 5 years, it can last 10 years. Well, I got news for you. It's not going to last more than about 70 or 80, no matter what it is. That's the max. It will come to an end at that point. And after that, you have the reality of who God is and who you are with Him. When a believer lives in meekness, they live in that reality. The circumstances may be challenging to them and may not be easy for them, but they won't be moved because they know Him. They know His faithfulness. They know His character. They know His love. They won't be afraid of things because they know the love of God. In meekness, I get to know Him, and that's what profits me. How is a person profited by faith in what they hear? Because through applying faith, mixing faith in what they hear, they get to know who He is. And that is profitable. That's what builds me as a person. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. This is what happens through meekness. I sanctify the Lord in my heart. I set Him as the Lord of my heart. And now He's sanctified. And now I become immovable. But I won't be able to do that if I'm not meek. If I'm not meek, though I believe the Word, I will take the Word and apply it to my intellect. It's that simple. I won't have the option. That's simply what I will do. Because I hear it in my ear, it goes to my mind, but it won't become frame of reference. What it will become is tool in my mind. It'll become a tool. So I equip myself with tools. And I'll say to myself, well, I have a tool for this and I have a tool for that. And when I get into this circumstances, I'll pull out the tool. And I think that's the same as categorical doctrine, but it's not. Categorical doctrine is not a set of tools that I have. If I need to cut something, I have a saw. If I need to hammer something, I have a hammer. That's not how it works. It's not something that I have in my mind to apply with my natural thinking. Categorical doctrine is knowing how to think with God in every situation, not what to apply to every situation. I don't apply the Word of God. I possess the mind of Christ. God doesn't try to... Can you imagine God? He's sitting in heaven on the throne, and a circumstance comes up, He says, oh, I need the little red promise book. And I start flipping through the little red promise book so I can apply the promise to the situation. Now, there's nothing wrong with going through the little red promise book. I have the little red promise book. It's a great little book. However, that is still trying to use my natural thinking and apply the Word as some sort of a band-aid or salve or whatever. If I am meek, I will let that promise transform me, and now I have a promise to rest in. And even if I go to my little red promise book, and there's nothing wrong with that, I don't apply it as simply a tool for my natural mind to use to hammer my situation. I apply it as something that becomes a frame of reference in my thinking for my situation. Do you see the difference? This is how we live in the promises and become victorious and overcomers through the promises. This is freedom in meekness, folks. That's what it is. It's freedom in meekness. Where the strife and the anxiety that a person experiences goes away because mixing faith with the Word of God is now profiting them. And that means they have complete confidence and assurance. Not so much in outcomes, but in character. Whatever the outcome is, I have full assurance that the end will be better than the beginning. Why? There's a promise that tells me that. Now, I can't tell you if the outcome is going to go left or right. But I can tell you that I have full assurance in the character of God and that it will be, as He has said, that the end will be better than its beginning. I can tell you that. I can tell you that if I pray and I believe that He will answer me according to my prayer. I can tell you that. I can tell you that He will be faithful in all circumstances, and even if I don't believe for a season, He will abide faithful because He can't deny Himself. I can tell you that. Why? Because the promises are now my frame of reference. The frustrating point for a believer is when, not realizing the need for meekness, they try to use the Word and they try to use it in their natural disposition, their natural thinking, their natural mind, without having it become the foundation of how they think. And they say, here's my circumstance. Grab a promise, put it in front of the circumstance. I think that's kind of this mental little exercise to go through. Grab a promise, put it in front of the circumstance. Okay, I hope it turns out right. It's not voodoo. It's a way of thinking. Meekness produces a way of thinking. If I could impart that, there's like a small handful of things that I wish I could really just impart to believers everywhere. And one of them is simply learning how to think with the Word of God. Not with the natural mind trying to apply the Word of God, but literally letting the Word of God be your thoughts. Having the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ has full confidence in the character of God because the mind of Christ knows Him. If I could impart that, that would be amazing. But that's what we need. That's what we're intended to have. It's not just that we need it. We're designed for the mind of Christ. We're not designed for the natural mind. We're designed to have the mind of Christ. This is why the Word of God says in Psalm 25:9, the meek will He guide in judgment and the meek will He teach His way. Because when I don't elevate myself, but He has increased in my perspective, then I am guided in judgment. Then I know the answer to all things. Then I know what to do. Then I know what is the way of God. I don't even have to have a verse for everything. I simply have the mind of Christ. You ever meet a person who wants a verse for everything? Well, that's very elementary pre-kindergarten thinking for a believer. I must have a verse for everything. Why don't you put line upon line, precept upon precept, be Spirit-filled as He teaches you in all truth. A John 16:13 believer doesn't need to spit a scripture, but there's a precept in the foundation of his heart that will know the truth. And the truth sets him free. A person who wants a verse for everything is actually a person who is living in a form of legalism. This is why the first thing in counseling is you don't try to apply scriptures to people. What do you apply to people? The heart of God. You never approach a person with scriptures if you're counseling them. You approach them with the heart of God. Because if you approach them with the scriptures are going to be a bat. And that person is going to be severely turned off. But if you approach them with the heart of God, with the character of the Savior, in the midst of whatever they're going through, then you will open for them a capacity for the Holy Spirit to teach them. And then the person is going to be led in all truth. If you simply apply scriptures to things like a band-aid, you're not going to have a life with God. You're going to have a life of band-aid. But that's not how it works. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So in meekness, I learn to live in the Spirit. That's why in Galatians 5:23, meekness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because in meekness I learn to live in the Spirit. Now, is that void of the Word? No. What it is having the Word as my premise for everything, not as my band-aid. See, what's wrong with trying to take a scripture to everything? It's still relying on natural understanding and sight. And then according to natural understanding and sight, trying to apply scripture. Doesn't work that way. The mind of God is not based on the tree of knowledge. The mind of God is based on the tree of life. And the tree of life comes through the cross as the Holy Spirit implements life to the believer. And then it's the mind of the Spirit in me, quickened by the Word, resident in me as my frame of reference that allows me to think. And that is what profits me. I don't go the other way around. The Word of God says in Ephesians 4:2, without meekness there is no love even. So if I'm to love, I have to be meek. Why? Because it's the character of God. You ever meet somebody who just can't love? Now when I say that, I don't mean like. And that's one of the things that I think really need to be sometimes pointed out, is that filio and agape are two different things. Agape is God's brand of love that we are to have one toward another. I may not appreciate things in another believer, but I can love that believer. I may not even like that believer, but I can love that believer. Why? Because love is patient and kind. If I were to counsel somebody in marriage, I would say, when it says, husbands, love your wives, it's not talking about having that emotion. It's talking about, be patient and kind toward your wives. But people will say, well, I don't love them because I don't feel this emotion. No, you don't love them because you're not patient and kind toward them. If you're patient and kind toward them, then you actually do love them. Now, you may not experience filio. You may not appreciate everything about them. Well, sometimes things aren't all that much to be appreciated about somebody. If somebody is living in carnality or in their flesh or reactionism, that's not something anyone appreciates. But you can still love them because you are patient and kind. Kind of takes the weight off of them and puts it where it belongs. I have to receive that from God. It's not based on their performance. But do you see this thing about meekness, folks? Where if I exalt my own thoughts, ways, attitudes, opinions above what God defines, then I will never have the mind of Christ. But if I yield to the mind of Christ, if I see the mind of God as being huge and my own mind as being trivial, if I accept the truth of what He says as the truth, not even fact, but truth, then I will live in the life of God. However, if I lack that meekness, though I may believe the Word and receive the Word, it will never profit because it won't have a transforming power. The only way it can transform is if it becomes the root of who I am. If I don't have that meekness, I will take the Word and try to apply it, stick it onto my situation. But that is not transformation. That's really very little more than a religious exercise. But the life of the Spirit is where life exists. And that only comes through meekness. That's where it profits me. John 15:5. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. I'm not meek because sometimes, and this is how it manifests itself, if I think that there's something that I can do apart from Him, I can brush my teeth, can't I? Not really. If He wasn't holding your molecules together, you wouldn't be brushing your teeth. If He didn't give you teeth to brush, you wouldn't be brushing your teeth. Apart from Him, I can literally do nothing. I can have thoughts, can't I? Not really. If He didn't put the brain in your head, you would have no electrical impulses flying between your neurons. If He didn't create the electrical impulses, you would not have them flying between your neurons. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. There's a reason why Psalm 22:26 says that the meek will eat and be satisfied. Why? Because it profits them. That's what profits them. This meekness thing, with some believers, can be a challenge. It's not really difficult. It's really more of a decision than anything else at first. Where I decrease, He increases. I humble myself under the mighty hand of God in 1 Peter 5, 6, and then He lifts me up. That's how it works. Apart from them, I can do anything I want. It won't profit me. But in meekness, I get to know who He is, and the life of God becomes the life that I live. Amen?